Bible lessons that children often remember for years are those that they grew up singing. How many of you remember the song about a wee little man? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today." I even remember my dad leading that song on occasion at Vacation Bible School in Stanton, Texas. So that song's been with me for a long time. And it has stayed with me. And so you mentioned a wee little man. I automatically think about Zacchaeus. And I want us to consider the story about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, if you'll open your Bibles there. About this wee little man and his encounter with Jesus and the change that wrought in his life. We'll begin in Luke 19, beginning with verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Notice something about Zacchaeus. He was not only a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. And how do you think people felt about him? You're right. They didn't like him. They didn't like him at all. Of all people in Palestine, in fact, the tax collectors were the most hated, not just because they took up folks' money for the government, but the fact was that the Roman government was the government in power, and the Jews particularly didn't like to be under the rule of some other power. They were looking for a kingdom. They were looking for the Messiah to come and set up an earthly kingdom that would overthrow the current Roman power, the Roman government. And so for them to pay taxes to the Roman government, to these people who had agreed to work for them, these tax collectors, publicans, were regarded as renegades and traitors. The taxation system even lent itself to abuse, because the powers that be, they farmed out the taxes. And so they would assess a certain amount for a district. And if someone, a chief tax collector like Zacchaeus, was able to bid the highest bid to have jurisdiction over this district, he could assess taxes in order to meet that amount that had been set by the government. But anything over that, he could line his own pockets with. And so these tax collectors were known to do just that, to line their own pockets. And many, including Zacchaeus, had grown very wealthy. Even to make it matters worse, if a man couldn't pay his taxes, sometimes the tax collector would offer to lend him money at an exorbitant rate of interest. And so here are these tax collectors getting richer and richer by doing such things as that. Robbers, murderers, and tax collectors were classed together. A tax collector was barred from the Jewish synagogue. And a Roman writer tells us that once he saw a monument to an honest tax collector. It was so rare, such a rare thing, that he felt like there needed to be a monument to this honest tax collector. Having said all that, Zacchaeus was a man who had reached the top of his profession. He was the most hated man in the district. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, the scripture says, probably by ill-gotten gain. He hints at that in what he says to Jesus, as we'll see in verse 8. But these tax collectors were notorious for collecting more taxes than required. The more money they collected, the more income they enjoyed. But that's not all about Zacchaeus. Look with me to verse 3. Here's an extremely commendable quality about him, is that he sought to see who Jesus was. He sought to see who Jesus was. Why did Zacchaeus want to see who Jesus was? Was he simply curious, as some writers suggest, that perhaps he had heard about him and so he wanted to see him for himself, perhaps hear him speak and learn more about him? Or was it that he too was looking for the Messiah? If he was a Jew, he would have known that God had promised a Messiah. And he had likely heard that many were saying or asking, could this be the one? Could this be the Messiah as he claimed to be? H. Leo Bowles states that his name reveals that he was indeed a Jew and a son of Abraham. Or was Zacchaeus looking for a new life? Though he was incredibly wealthy, perhaps he felt an emptiness inside. He was looking, he knew there was something more to life than this wealth that he had accumulated. And he was probably quite lonely because of his profession. And now he's hearing about Jesus and how Jesus has a new message. And perhaps he wants to hear, does he have a message for me? But it's wonderful to see, as Zacchaeus has this quality about him, that he wants to see who Jesus was. He wants to learn more about him. It's wonderful to see what, in fact, he learns about who Jesus is. Luke 19:3, there's something that made his quest a little difficult for him. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. That's why we sing, he was a wee little man. He was a short stature. And as I envision Zacchaeus, as a crowd has assembled to see Jesus coming through in Jericho, Zacchaeus trying to work his way through the crowd, and he's so short he can't see over them. Now, mind you, I believe most everyone in that crowd knew who Zacchaeus was and knew what he did for a living. So I'm thinking they're not even wanting him to get through to see Jesus, and perhaps are throwing some of those elbows in his side while they have the opportunity. But he's of short stature, so he's going to have to work extra hard in order to see Jesus for himself. But William Barclay points out, for Zacchaeus, being a tax collector, for him to even mingle with the crowd was a very courageous thing to do. But I think that indicates to us just how badly he wanted to see Jesus. So verse 4, what he's famous for in our minds probably, is that he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So, short or not, he's going to make arrangements to where he can at least get a glimpse of Jesus. So he climbs up in a tree in order to see Jesus. He wants to know who Jesus is. Watch with me about who he saw, who he learned that Jesus was and is. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Does anything jump out at you about that statement? I hope it's this, that Jesus calls him by name. He calls him by name. And I don't know if Jesus had ever met Zacchaeus or not, or perhaps he just knew, being the Son of God, that this was Zacchaeus. And I believe it also indicates to us that he knew something about Zacchaeus' heart and maybe what he's searching for and why he has climbed that tree in order to see Jesus. But Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus is someone to Jesus, just as you and I are someone to Jesus. And he says to Zacchaeus, today I must stay at your house. J.W. McGarvey wrote that this is the only instance where Jesus invited himself to be any man's guest. But I underscore the word must. I must stay at your house. And I looked that word up, even in the original language, and it means it is necessary. I must stay at your house today. Love constrained him to pause in Jericho that he might go and go into Zacchaeus' home to where he could learn about Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus learn about him and change Zacchaeus' life forever. So verse 6, here's Zacchaeus' response. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Don't you think Zacchaeus is thinking, wow, he knows me by name. And now he says he wants to come to my house. This is amazing. And so he is excited about Jesus coming to his home. He received him joyfully. However, I also wonder if Zacchaeus has a haunting feeling. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know what I do for a living? Doesn't he know how I paid for this house that he's going to be coming into? Why would he want to come to my house? And he's not the only one asking that question, is he? Look at verse 7. When the people around him saw it, they all complained, saying, "He, Jesus, has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." There's some more idea about how they feel about Zacchaeus. He's a sinner, the worst of sinners. And now Jesus, who claims to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah, is going to his house, is going to have a meal with him. He's going to have fellowship. He's going to associate with a sinner. This is a common complaint regarding Jesus. He's associating with sinners. Consider another occasion, Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." He's associating with sinners. And so here are the scribes and Pharisees, the religiously elite of the day, and they're complaining that Jesus is associating with sinners. Notice that passage is from Luke chapter 15. Many of you will recall Luke chapter 15 for the parables that are contained in that chapter. Namely three. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, or otherwise known as the prodigal son. And it's in that context of Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, or he's associating with them, and these scribes and Pharisees are complaining, "This man receives sinners and eats with them," that he tells these three stories. About a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one was lost, and so he left the 99 to go and find that one. How a woman who had 10 coins and lost one, and she searched diligently until she found that one. And about that prodigal son who left home and went away and wasted his inheritance in riotous living, but finally came back home. And with each of these stories, the same message is clear. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. But they complained. Jesus is associating with sinners. And I want you to think about this one. I think if Jesus were to come to this earth again to live among men, a second incarnation, if you will, I think we would be uncomfortable about with whom he would associate. I'm afraid we'd be just like those scribes and Pharisees. How could he associate with people like that? Doesn't he know what kind of people they are? Did he? Absolutely. And Chris read for us another example concerning another tax collector who was just as hated as Zacchaeus, and just considered as much a sinner as the worst. But Jesus not only goes to see Levi or Matthew, he even calls him to follow me. He saw a tax collector sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi, or Matthew, gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others, and I would say other sinners, who sat down with them. And here goes the scribes and Pharisees again. They complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the more I study that verse, this is what I believe Jesus to be saying. He puts all sinners in two categories. Those who think they're righteous, and those who acknowledge that they are indeed sinners. I've not come to call those who think they are righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. In Luke 7, verse 34, this lets us know that Jesus knows what's being said about him. And he says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" That's what you're saying about me, Jesus says. Because he would eat and drink with these tax collectors and other sinners, they would say, "Look, he's such a glutton. Look, he's a wine bibber." And to that he would say, "That's not true at all." But I think he would gladly acknowledge the last part, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. In today's vernacular, if I may, I think Jesus would say, "You got that right." Because that's what Zacchaeus learned about Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was. Verse 3. What did Zacchaeus learn about the identity of Jesus? He learned Jesus is the friend of sinners. Consider the effect that Jesus' encounter had upon Zacchaeus. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." There may be in his statement here an admission of gaining wealth in a wrong way. And yet we don't know what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about. I don't know if Jesus addressed this issue of how he had come to his wealth, or if it was just that Jesus was talking with him, showing concern for his relationship with God, and Zacchaeus comes to this conclusion all by himself because he's learned that Jesus is the friend of sinners who doesn't want to leave him in sin, but wants to bring him out of it. And so he just exclaims out of generosity and out of being touched by the Son of God, "I want to give half of what I have to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I want to restore it fourfold." Jesus has changed Zacchaeus forever. Notice what Jesus says about it all. "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." Perhaps Jesus is alluding to the fact that Zacchaeus is a Jew. He's a descendant of Abraham. But perhaps even more, he is speaking to the faith of Zacchaeus, and how, like Abraham, he's willing by his faith to submit his life to the Lord. But then Jesus zeroes in and states clearly why he came. And it was for people like Zacchaeus. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." These words seem to be Jesus' answer to the murmuring of verse 7 about he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Why would he do that? And Jesus' answer is, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." So the question may be, why Zacchaeus? It was a question asked that day by those who were witnessing all this. Why Zacchaeus? And why would Jesus single this man out? Was it just because he was so short that he had to climb a tree to see him? We might as well ask this. Why you and why me? Why would he want to come to my house? Why would he want to change my life? Why would he want to die for me? The truth is, none of us measures up. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, we seen. He was short in stature. But notice this, when it comes to God's standard, we are all wee little people. Romans 3:23, no pun intended on the use of this word, but all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. I did read about a preacher who said when his children, his little girls were growing up, they did what perhaps many of you have done. They had this, the door frame of a closet door, and they would mark the height of their children as they were growing. And one time this preacher had another visiting preacher in their home, and he was 6'6". And they put Chet Haney up next to this door frame and then marked 6'6". And then as their little girls grew, and the mom and dad had also marked their height, the little girls would say, "Hey, we're catching up with you, Mom and Daddy, but we'll never catch up with Uncle Chet." In the same way, on God's door facing of righteousness, none of us measures up. And we never will be able to. We all fall short of God's standard. Of Jesus Christ. But the good news is this. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who don't measure up. Those who fall woefully short of the glory of God. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he died for you and for me. Because we're sinners. We're Zacchaeus. Why Zacchaeus? The same answer is, why you and why me? Because he loves us so much that he would even die for us so that our sins can be washed away, so that we can be found righteous by the blood of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the friend of sinners. And that is the greatest news of all for you and for me. Because we're sinners in desperate need of the grace of God. Perhaps it's your desire this morning to accept that grace on His terms. Perhaps it's your desire this morning to be baptized into Christ as a penitent believer so that your sins can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church for something going on in your life. And it may be that you've wandered away. You need to come back home as the prodigal son did. If that be the case, please come right now as we stand and sing.